When we think about doing evangelism, sharing the knowledge of God and bringing people into relationship with God through his son, Yeshua, we tend to think of answering questions. But my friend believed in asking questions. No point in answering questions no one is asking, so he entered relationship with people simply by asking sincere questions through relationship, through friendship, not artificially, but with genuine interest and concern. The key to asking good questions is to genuinely care what another person thinks and why he thinks it. Questions can be very manipulative, and we don't want to ask questions that way. You don't want to come out of the box with, "Are you saved? Do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Have you ever told a lie?" That's manipulation, and manipulation is not love. It's not a healthy practice to manipulate people with questions, but the right kinds of questions are powerful and can open up all kinds of doors and discussion. Think about it. People pay therapists. They will pay a therapist to sit and ask them questions. Most people have never had someone who actually cared so much as to ask questions about their life and how they are doing with it and how they are dealing with issues and problems and to listen to the answers. And asking questions, when in the right time and place, has the powerful effect of forcing people to articulate their own beliefs, which is something that very few people actually have ever been asked to do. And they don't necessarily really understand their own beliefs or how they arrived at those beliefs in the first place. Asking questions and soliciting their articulation of worldviews and views about God causes the person to understand his or her own beliefs better, and it often exposes the dead ends in their thinking. The person answering the question is learning about himself or herself as he or she articulates the answer. So my evangelist friend said, if someone is making crazy statements from absurd beliefs, don't initially reveal your position. Instead, ask questions to discover the origin of those beliefs. Have some fun with this. You'll be amazed at what you learn. Even more so, if you ask enough questions, you will be amazed at how often the Holy Spirit will convict your friend of how frail and outlandish his beliefs are. You will actually see him hearing himself talk. And by the time you get done having them listen to their own articulation of beliefs, they will often be begging you to teach them something sensible, please. Asking good questions is an art. My evangelist friend said that he asks tons of questions and then shows his love, the love of Messiah in him actually, by genuinely listening to the answer. I asked him to give me some examples of these questions. He gave me some samples of appropriate questions that lead to opportunity to explore matters of faith. For example, one question he always asks that you probably always ask is, "How are you doing? How are you?" It's a normal formality. How are you? But the difference is to mean it. He says he never asks, "How are you doing?" unless he really means it. Are you willing to truly listen to the answer and not settle for fine? When in relationship with someone and you see someone is in distress or experiencing distress, you might ask, "Is there something wrong? Do you care to share it with me? Do you need some help? Is there something I can do to help you? Are you going to be okay?" If someone happens to share a difficulty, you may ask, "How does that make you feel? How are you dealing with it? How are you coping?" If someone shares a belief, you may ask, "How did you come to that conclusion? How did you come to that belief? Why do you believe that's true?" If someone shares concern about their marriage relationship, you might say, "Which direction is your marriage going? A marriage is either growing or dying. Which direction is yours going? Why?" If someone expresses despair or hopelessness, you might even ramp it up to an existential level and ask, "Do you know the purpose for which you were created? Do you want help discovering your purpose in life?" Whether we are asking questions or showing Messiah's love to a person in other ways, such as helping them move, inviting them home for dinner, showing an interest in what they are interested in, spending time with them, etc., all the while, we are building a relationship platform. Until this platform of relationship is built, it's inappropriate to begin trying to teach about faith. Most people trying to share faith, to do evangelism, are too aggressive, far too early in the relationship. We tend to want to answer questions people aren't asking, and we tend to want to fix problems that people don't feel they have, and that is a waste of time. We first have to build that platform of relationship through genuine interaction, interest, acts of loving kindness. It might take weeks, months, or even years. But someday, if the relationship has been purposeful, you will find yourself in a position to offer the gospel. Mitzvot change lives. Acts of random kindness. The Sermon on the Mount kind of person who continually refuses to blow up or lose his temper or even speak critically, but continually keeps bringing it back to the good, bringing it back to the good. You will change lives. Heart opens up to heart. That's when lives are touched and changed. If you feel uncomfortable sharing the gospel, that may be a God-given hesitation meant to keep you from doing it. A God-given hesitation often prevents us from doing or saying something stupid that will jeopardize relationship and the opportunity to later communicate the gospel when the time is ripe. Sometimes when we hesitate to share our faith, we might feel bad or blame ourselves for lacking boldness. But the bold, fearless, in-your-face approach to evangelism can many times be more harmful than good, and it can take years to reverse the damages. So pay attention to the God-given hesitation as you're building up relationship. Even though we're willing to share our faith, if our friend isn't asking, if we try to give someone something they don't want, it's offensive. You'll come across as superior, holier than thou, condescending, self-righteous, if you force the gospel on someone. Frequently, if we fail to ignore relationship principles, we're perceived as telling someone what they believe is wrong and what we believe is right. Well, that may be exactly what we are doing, but if our methods are insensitive, the perception it creates in our listener can cause an unnecessary defensive posture and rejection of the gospel. It's okay to tell someone that what they believe is wrong, but it's not going to be received unless it's from within a solid and trusting relationship. If you find yourself in an argument, you've got the wrong approach. Arguments are never fruitful. Arguments are attempts to persuade and manipulate. Real relational evangelism has to begin where your friend is at, not where you want to take him. Whether you're asking questions, showing love through action, just listening, or having a conversation over what interests your friend, make every effort to go to the place where your friend is at. Try not to give a person what they don't perceive they need. Don't start with what you want them to know. When you've established solid relationship, you have a fair chance of getting someone to agree, perhaps, to a Bible study. If so, go with it. Let the Bible communicate. A Torah Club study is a great way to inculcate the gospel. Volume 1 was written specifically with this agenda in mind. It begins with the creation, monotheism, and slowly builds the revelation of Hashem and Messiah as the material progresses. Your goal is to slowly change the game from checkers to chess. Until you are both on the same game board, playing with the same pieces, with the same rules, there's no point in talking about checkmate.